I can tell you this has been a very difficult message for me to pull together this morning. I grappled with, should I preach this, should I not preach this, you know, and all that. We've been reading through these daily devotions on 40 days for Jesus, praying with Jesus about church revitalization, renewal, and I wanted a message that would go along with that journey. But still, I'm still grappling with it. Here I am, I'm still grappling with it, Brother Bob. Not that it's a bad message, it's not anything negative by any means. It's just, pastors, I think sometimes we go through that. Sometimes we have messages that, that's where I need to go, that's it. And then other times we say, I just don't know. I don't know if that's where I should go or not. But since I'm here and you're here and I've got the microphone, I'll probably go ahead with it. And we've already got your money, so I'm teasing with that, of course. Because these are the best days of the church that we're in, but these are also challenging days. And I would assume that most of you understand some of the challenges that are not just challenging days with church, but they're also challenging days within your own personal life, your own personal walk with the Lord, that there are also challenging days. I just turned off that mic so this mic and that mic don't challenge each other, since these are challenging days. But I've got a passage here in Joshua, if you want to go to Joshua 1, that I think will help us understand something about how the church is changing in the midst of service to an unchanging Lord. That God is immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. Nothing different about God. But somehow we have to begin to face, what do we do as a church? Well, let me ask you, if you will, to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and let me ask you to stand. We might honor the reading of these precious words that God gave to Joshua in this transitional time of the Israelites and this church. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance to the tribes. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God bless the reading of His word and your hearing. Would you be seated and just bow with me as we pray together, okay? We bow together, Lord, recognizing that change is inevitable in all of our lives, not just in church life, but in our individual walk. We need to hold on to those things that strengthen us and give us courage, and yet begin to listen to you about what things we need to do perhaps differently to be successful in getting your word out and growing ministries and growing our own individual lives. We thank you for a passage like this concerning Joshua and Moses and their close companion work together, and how that mantle transitioned from Moses to Joshua and the instruction God gave to him. So just speak to our hearts today. So whatever we need to learn about this passage might somehow help us leave this place recognizing we're somehow different for being in your presence. You've strengthened us and you've grown us in this next few moments. Thank you for the song service, for the strength we've gained from it. We give you praise for the end result of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you'll just pardon me as I blow my nose. How about that?
We're family, aren't we, huh?
But it's your fault, Linda. All right. If you ask yourself, and who wouldn't, what is this about change and why do we need to change? And who offers change and why in the world is change an important part of who we are as a church? Well, the church is changing. It is. And if you've been a part of church life for years, you can look around from building to building and fellowship to fellowship and say, man, things are different. They're not like they used to be, you know, when I was a kid. And they were like this and they were like that. And we did things this way and we did things that way and so on. But somehow through our ears, when we think about the church changing, it sometimes has a negative connotation. Because change is not easy for any of us. Generally, it's not. And by the way, if it sounds negative to you about change when it comes to your walk with God or the church, feel comfortable. You're within the majority. Because for most folk, change is not easy. It's tough. And we ask ourselves, what is the church changing to? Where are we going? What's being done differently about the church that we need to give attention to? Why does the church need to change? And who, by the way, is dictating this change? Who's telling us we need to change? Pastor Larry Winn was speaking to a group in a conference, and he asked this question that's important for us to hear. For every church to hear. Listen to this. He says, do you love your grandchildren and children enough to make the necessary changes within your church to bring them back to the Lord? Statistics tell us, almost until we're nauseated in reading them, that we're losing our young people. We're losing our young adults. They're not going to church. They're leaving the nest and they're going to college and they're going hither and yon, and church is not a part of who they are. You know why? Because they're changing, but the church is not adapting and presenting a gospel they want to hear. Now I know, we can dig our heels in and say, well, by God, that's just who we are. They want to know about Jesus, they need to come to our church and we'll tell them about Jesus, and that's just the way it's going to be, and I'm not budging and I'm not moving. Let me read you Larry Wynn's statement one more time. Do you love your grandchildren and children enough to make the necessary changes within your church to bring them back to church and or back to the Lord, whatever it might be? Now I know, don't get skittish here and say, good night, what's he talking about? What kind of change is he suggesting we do? I know all kinds of images are coming to your mind here, probably. If you've even heard me at all, maybe you haven't heard me, maybe you've tuned me out already. You're thinking about lunch. 3 weeks ago, I shared some staggering statistics about the church. I'm going to go through just about three or four of those that I shared a bunch of them about 3 weeks ago. But let me just reiterate a couple of these here. 95% of North American churches average 100 or less in attendance. 95%. Over 82% of churches in North America are either plateaued or declining. 82%. 344,000 evangelical, this is evangelical church, not liberal churches. 344,000 evangelical churches are in decline or plateau. I mean, they ain't budgeting. They're staying where they are. Lastly, hold on to your seatbelts. 50 to 60 churches in our country close their doors every week. Every week. Now, of course, we know that churches are opening. You know, we've got new churches coming up and church plants and all that sort of thing are coming up. We got to ask ourselves, why in the world are these statistics so prominent and so heart-wrenching? It's easy to see that the church today is in a position of transition. Why don't folks leave Jackson Ridge and go to a church down the road or down the street or in some other county? Not because they don't like you guys. Not because they don't want to be about you. It's because the church is in transition. And they're offering something that they aren't able to get, perhaps, where we are and what we're doing. So what do? We've got to sit down and think this thing through, church. We've got to say, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to just be pious and say, well, just let them go. You know, they didn't love the Lord anyway. No, they may love the Lord deeply in their hearts. So we've got to somehow ask ourselves, what can we do? I want to look at how God's early church embraced change for promises that God had for them. And we looked at our passage, of course, in verses 1 through 9 in this first chapter of Joshua. And verse 1 and 2 tells us that what they had to do is what we have to do. They had to deal with their past. They were in transition. Moses gone. Those who had traveled 40 years in the wilderness gone. The only two that were left going into the Canaan were who? Joshua and Caleb. And that this is a whole church in transition. The church today overall is facing transition. I'm not speaking about drastic transitions. I mean, we've been through some transitions ourselves, haven't we, Miss Judy? We've been through transitions where we are now. Since we've been here 2.5, going to be 3 years in September, we've been through some transitions here. Some good, some not so comfortable. Maybe some not so good, I don't know. But we've been through them. But our church deals with transitional leadership. But pastors leaving and pastors going and that kind of transition. We've got transitional leadership all the time. Both taking over classes, doing classes, taking leadership in this and that and so on. And the churches today are facing format change and style change. We can easily take our eyes off of a true leader, but we can't take our eyes off God. Somebody once said years ago, you don't have to take the deity out of God's word in his name to get people to hear you. You don't. You want to speak the word of the Lord as the word of the Lord is in his word, the Bible. We don't compromise his word. We don't change his word. We don't make his word fit our lifestyle. So we look for or act like the world. We don't want to look like the world, right? No. The Word tells us we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We don't have to be like them to be attractive enough for them to come hear you speak. Here's the deal. Today, for the church to begin growing and doing what God leads them to do, we've got to come to grips with where we've been and where we think God wants us to be years from now. Verses 1 and 2, he tells us about their past. After the death of Moses, that's the past, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, all of the people, prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land that I'm giving the Israelites. Prepare to do what I've already led you to do. We can easily take our eyes off God if we're not careful. In verse 2, I love the fact that he tells them who's in charge. He says, to the land that I have given you. He says, now you, all the people, prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving to the Israelites. Not that you're taking it. I'm giving it. That tells me that God has a plan for Jackson Ridge. God has a plan for every church preaching and teaching the gospel. He has a plan. Now, I would venture to say, though not in a negative way, that probably some of those 50 to 60 churches that close every week, some of those churches may need to close. Some of those probably need to close because they're not following what God led them to do in the first place. Or they're apostate churches. They're not preaching a true gospel. Well, that's all right. But I guarantee you there's a lot of churches that had just given up. They fought against it, and finally said, there's no hope, there's no use in us doing anything. Nobody's coming to our church. Somebody once said clearly, said, you know what? If people are coming to your church, go to the people. Go to where they are and take the gospel. Someone also said that, you know what? The front door of your church is no longer the front door of your church. Now that sounds like double talk if there's ever been. In other words, that's no longer the front door to churches. Now the front door to churches is social media. People are going to Facebook and they're going to websites, and very often folks that come to your church for the first time know more about your church than the average church member because they've researched you on the web. So sometimes churches need to catch up and realize that folks are looking for something different. Now, I'm not saying we have to give them pablum or baby food or just spoon feed them so that they feel good about coming to church. I'm not talking about that. But if they won't come through the doors of your church or even go to the web address to your church for the first time, you have no options to give them anything. They'll not get anything. Now, although this passage that we looked at here in Joshua talks about new leadership, there's nothing new about the Lord. He is the one who is leading them. He's the one giving them direction. In a period of change and transition and renewal, we need to remember that God is the one who has placed us here today. I step on some big shoulders. I step on the shoulders of Ken Sharp, who for not just 8 years, but numbers of years before that, led you, taught you, encouraged you, pastored you. We don't throw that out. We stand on those strong foundations, just like they did. God said, Moses, whom you worked with, Joshua, this is who he was. Continue that work. But it is now a new day. It's time for you to go into the land of promise. It's time for Jackson Ridge to go into the land of promise. It's time for us to say, Lord, you've gifted us, you've blessed us, you've encouraged us You've discipled us. You've strengthened us. Now it's time for us to go to that land of promise. Look at their change that they experienced. God led them from Egypt to the desert. God led them from the desert to the wilderness. And God led them from the wilderness into the promised land, crossing over the River Jordan under Joshua's leadership. Joshua recognized God was in charge, and he was just following his lead, leading the people into a new land, defeating an enemy that they were going to encounter. You know that any church that attempts to grow, wants to move forward, is going to find enemies in the land. And someone once said, I have found the enemy, and it's us. Because very often our enemy is right here in our mind. We can't do it. I don't want to do it. You can't make me do it. And churches who have infighting, for example, who fuss among themselves, you can't grow. You're stymieing yourself because you're so busy putting out interior fires. We fail to recognize the real enemy is not here. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. So the enemy that they fought, that they had to go against in the new land of Canaan, very often that enemy for us as believers is right here in our mind. Not walking by faith, not walking by trust, but just saying, I don't want to go there. I'm too tired. I'm too worn out. I just don't have the energy. I don't have the spiritual energy to go forward. And all the time God is saying, I will be with you every step of the way. I'm your energy. I'm your strength. He led the people into a new land. He said, you're going to defeat the enemy that's there. And in addition to that, you know what you're going to do, Joshua? You're going to claim the land that was an inheritance given to you and Moses and your people years ago. You're going to inherit it already. Does that tell you something? That tells me that God already has a plan for Jackson Ridge. We just need to inherit it. We just need to take it. It's ours. But if we can't defeat the enemy of the mind, if we can't defeat the enemy of commitment, if we can't defeat the enemy of, I'm just complacent about the gospel, then we will not inherit the land God has for us. And we'll go by way of that 50 to 60 churches who die every week. Or we'll just plateau. We'll just stay where we are. We'll greet each other, love each other, have another meal. I like those meals, by the way. But all those things that we do as a church, those things are just building blocks that God wants us to put in place for His kingdom's work among us. They're just little puzzle pieces that God's using. We need to deal with our past, but also develop this plan. Verses 3 through 6 tells us about the plan that God has. Over there in verses 3, if you will, I have given you every place where your soul, the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. He said, I've already given you Rockvale. I've already given you Eagle. I've already given you Unionville. I've already given you and all the small little communities around. I've already given those to you. Just go conquer them. March into those areas with the name of the Lord. Make His name famous and claim those areas for God. Could it be that we have not prayed strong enough, deep enough, and sincere enough for the promised land God has placed us in to conquer? Verse 4, your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River. We could name all the counties and all the communities around here and place it in there. Is there a river around here? Okay, all the land around Blue Lake Catfish.
Duck River,
okay, there you go. And claim all those things for God, all the land of the Hittites, the west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Did you get that, folks? Nobody will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Throughout scriptures, we find Jesus saying that. We find God saying that. I will not leave you. Brother Bob talked about that even in the lesson this morning. In Matthew 28, where Jesus, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Are you strong? Are you courageous? Or are you just too tired? Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. He says, develop the plan that God has for you. Part of his plan is you be strong, you be courageous, you recognize and map out in your brain all these communities, all these homes, all these streets in and around this place. God says, those are yours. I've placed you here in this strategic place to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know there are some challenges that we have to face, first of all. And those challenges and those enemies are right here. You know, sometimes within churches, there's so much problems within our own lives. Our families are broken. Our children are broken. Our jobs are broken. You name all those things, and the pastor says, now go out and tell somebody about Jesus. And you're thinking, are you kidding? Man, I can't even tell my own family about Jesus. They're so messed up. They're so deep in sorrow and sadness. But his plan is to empower Joshua and the Israelites to cross the river. We have to believe his plan. We have to believe and accept his power. He says, I'm going to strengthen you, Joshua, that when you go into that land, you're going to be able to defeat the enemy in that land. And we know, we've already talked about, the enemy for us is doubt and fear and complacency. That's our enemy. But his plan is, go into the land and defeat that enemy. You've got to surrender yourself, says Father. I know that I've got a lot of doubt. I know there's a lot of issues within our church. I know there's a lot of issues within my life, within my family. I want to defeat all that, and I give it all to you. I surrender it all to you. Father, take all those things and win the battles that I'm fighting. You know what it says? I'm placing you as a conquering servant over all those enemies. And then his plan is to allocate the land to the tribes as an inheritance. God expected Joshua to trust the promise God had given to him. Are we trusting God? First, we need to find his strategy and his plan, and these verses tell us that. And second, we need to finish the design that he has for that plan. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says here, it says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Nobody. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is the design he has for us. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to lead you every step of the journey. But thirdly, we need to have faith in the provisions he's given to us. He's the one providing for us the strength and all of that. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to the fathers to give them as an inheritance. I'm doing this. I am God is saying. It's not what we can do. It's not the power within us. It's not how smart we are, how clever we are. It's not how involved we are in social media. None of that. It's all about God. He's the one who's giving us the empowering ability to do what we need to do. Then, thirdly, we need to discover the power he has for us. Verse 7 tells us that. Verse 7 says, above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, and you will have success wherever you go. Don't go somewhere else. Always go to His Word. His Word is where the instruction. How do we as God's people actually prosper? Well, we prosper by obeying God's Word. But you've got to be in His Word. And you know, I gave you a book that lets you go daily through God's Word in that praying with Jesus for 40 days concerning church renewal and revitalization. You get Jesus calling every day in your email. There's multiple ways you can be in the Word. Are you? Now you know. Now you know. You discover His power by discovering His Word. You say, Pastor, I just don't want to be a part of the Word. I'm just too tired for that. Then you won't have the power of God. Just go ahead and take it to the bank and cash it in. You will not walk in His power until you adhere to and be obedient to His Word. Period. We're fooling ourselves. We're playing games unless we know that our power comes from God's Word. God told Moses what to do, and Joshua, and He'll tell us what to do. Determine what His principles are in verse 8. We need to determine that our God is not satisfied with partial obedience. Did you know that partial obedience is disobedience? Did you know that when you just come to church and that's all you do, that's walking in disobedience to God? Wait a minute. I thought coming to church is what I'm supposed to do. I thought that's really what God wanted me to do. Yes, it is. That's one step that God wants you to do. So if we're partially following His will, and we're not using His Word, we're not spending time in prayer, guess what? We're walking in disobedience. Do you know what God did to the disobedient Israelites? He put folks like Jabin in charge of them, Bob. He said, you're walking disobedience, I'm going to give you a leader that's not worth 2 cents. I'm going to destroy, I'm going to just walk away from you because you've walked away from me. Well, God says. I somehow think we're fortunate that He doesn't just wipe us off the face of the earth. He had snakes kill 10,000 of them in disobedience. But see, here's what God chooses to do today. God chooses, because of His love, to be a just and merciful and fair and equal God. And here's what He says. Jackson Ridge, or put your name on that blank. Lenny Farmer, if this is where you want to go, you just go. I'll let you. You're a free moral agent. You want to walk out of my protection? Just do it. That's God's mercy and justice. But that's also God's punishment. God says, you go ahead. Do what you want to do. And face those consequences. We discover His power. We discern, we determine His principles. Listen, this is what I think success is. Success for a church, success in your life, is finding God's will and doing it. That's success for you. But then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. If we desire to discover and determine God's principles, we must first grasp His Word, meditate and ponder on His Word, and then after doing so, apply His Word. It's one thing to hear the Word, read the Word, and meditate on it, but if we don't apply it, it's just like the man who looks in the mirror and sees a smudge and says, well, look, there's a smudge, and walks away and doesn't wipe it off. So when we look into God's Word and we see what we're supposed to do, but we choose not to, it's as though we are hearers of the Word, but not doers of the Word, as James tells us. And then develop through His purpose, verse 9, lastly. Haven't I commanded you? That's a question there. Haven't I already told you this? Haven't you done that for your children? Son, I told you that 10 times. Haven't I already told you that, son? Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Listen, know that when God gives you a command, He also gives you a promise. His command is, be strong and courageous. Stand in the midst of what God's calling you to do. He says, stand there, be true to my word, grasp my word, ponder my word, apply my word, and when you do, this is the promise. I will be with you. Now, I don't know if you've really digested the contrary of that. But it's saying, if you're not courageous and you're not strong, I won't be with you. Now, I don't think God's walking away. What God is saying, if you're not being strong and courageous and bold with your faith, you won't know if I'm with you or not. You'll not sense my presence. Because this is how we sense his presence. By grasping his word and meditating on his word and applying his word. Our purpose is strengthened by His commission. His instruction strengthened us. Remember, it's Jesus that said, go into all the world. Now, we can just discount that. Forget that. Forget that nonsense. Go into all the world. You kidding? We're not even going down the street. We're not even going next door. A church that changes in the midst of a changeless Lord is one that says, I'm going to start doing things differently to reach this world for Christ. Because what I'm doing has not worked. You aunts and uncles and grandmothers and moms and dads and brothers and sisters who've been praying for your brothers and sisters and your wayward family and your neighbors and all that sort of thing, and they're still as lost as they were when you started praying. It's time to think of a new way I can reach them for Christ. Our purpose is hopefully strengthened and solidified by His presence. Let me ask you, have you dealt with your past? Has what you've been doing in the past in your walk with Christ, has that been producing fruit in your life? Because if it hasn't been, there's time for change. There's room for change. But are you willing to change? You know, you've always heard these statements. One said, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Have you heard that? And the person says, well, some of these psychiatrists are change. And there's only one, but the light bulb has to want to change. You can't change a person unless they want to change. If you don't want to change, change will not happen. If as a church, if as a believer, you're not willing to say, Lord, I'm going to be compliant, I'm going to be have the ability to be remade by your Spirit, whatever it takes, whatever you want to do to me, Lord, I'm going to make the sacrifice so I can reach that person down the road here. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when change will take place. When you say to yourself, I'm tired of coming to church and seeing these same old faces. Your faces are nice. Don't go anywhere. When you finally say, I'm ready for some new faces to come to this place because of my influence on their life, because I've been obedient to God and I've been doing what He wanted me to do. I've been in His Word. I've been meditating His Word. I've been applying His Word. Then we're going to see some changes take place. But until that takes place, it will be church as usual. And we will at some point in time become one of the 50 to 60 that close their doors. That's not a warning to you. That's reality. That's just reality, folks. We've got to change. If we're going to reach this community, if we're going to reach these folks that are moving into Rockville, good night alive. Do you know what's happening? Building everywhere. When that high school opens up, I know the traffic's going to be crazy, but that's a whole different story. But it's going to bring people. They're going to be looking for churches. They're going to be looking for people. They're going to be looking for the Lord. Are we ready to give it to them for something that will keep them involved and engaged in the gospel? We have to consider change. I'd love to hear from you about that, about this message, and how you think we can and need to change to reach the community for Christ. We need some discussions about this stuff. We can talk about it. Well, preacher, you know, if you're going to change, I'm just going to go somewhere else that doesn't want to change. Hey, nothing I can do about that. I'm just laying it out for you. This is the way it is. If we're going to reach folks, we've got to change. But sometimes that change has to start right here. Right here at first. Are you reading those pages? I hope you are. If you've not read one of them, not read none of them, you've got to do it, can't even find it, there's a couple, two or three back here on the table. Take one with you. Maybe you can't find it. I don't know how that happened. You get lost down the couch, under the couch. Cat ate it. You know, I don't know how that is. And there's nothing magical in those pages, except it makes you think, yeah, that's rich stuff. We need to be doing some things differently, more exciting, with a drawing power with the gospel for people to come in here.